Well, good morning. Thank you for coming to Crossroads this Sunday after Thanksgiving. My name is Andy Upton, and I am one of the elders here. And I get the privilege to speak to you guys this morning to wrap up our series of The Power of One. And before I read the passage, 2 Timothy is a very short book, but we have had, this is the ninth service out of four books. And so we're going to do a little recap. We got to hear from six of the seven on the leadership team. And in chapter one, Pastor Kurt talked about being rooted. And who have you impacted in your life? Pastor Jeff, in the second part of the first chapter, talked about unashamed. Don't hide what God has given you. In chapter two, Pastor Kurt talked about being engaged and continuing your legacy. Pastor Kurt carried on in chapter two, talked about being devoted, staying grounded in your faith, because your life matters. The end of chapter two, Pastor Kurt talked about being useful, that all of us have no excuse not to do what God has asked us to do. We're all useful in the kingdom of God. Elder Don talked about being prepared, and the only way we can be prepared is to be in the Word of God. If we're not studying the Word of God, we won't know who's trying to deceive us or what's trying to deceive us. Pastor Matt, at the end of chapter 3, talked about being equipped, and he also talked about how important it is to have mentors and people that you can be connected with. And he talked about this card, the communication card, and if you want to be mentored, fill this out, put it in the offering, tell us who you are and that you would like to be mentored. And then last week we got to hear from Elder Gary, and he talked about the first part of chapter 4 and to finish. And he compared it to a marathon. Obviously, a marathon takes a lot of dedication, doesn't it, Gary? You can't go out and run a 50-yard dash a couple of times and think you can finish a marathon. And today, I get to speak on chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, 9 through 22. And this section really spoke to me about the need to stay connected. So I am reading out of the NIV. And we don't have any notes today because the office was closed starting on Tuesday. And I didn't have all my thoughts together on Tuesday to send it. I'm not like Kurt and Matt and Don or Jeff that have dedicated time here. So bear with me. But there is a piece of paper in your bulletin that on the back side that is blank. So if you want to take some notes, feel free to do it there. So let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for making it very clear to us that each one of us have something to offer in your kingdom, that you want to use each one of us to reach somebody else. And I just pray that your spirit will be here in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9, Paul talks to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Taurus, also the books, and above all the parchments. And then he warns Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, but the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then his final greetings is, greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill in Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace to you. So, in verse 9, Paul wants Timothy to come and visit him because of some of the people that have left him because of their love of this world. And I don't know about you, but I have been guilty myself in my Christian life where I have strayed. Back in the early 90s, my wife and my two older boys, we were going to church, and we were involved with the youth groups. We were involved in other ministries. Every Friday night, we would have a family night. My wife and I and another couple would go and open up the church, the gym. We would play volleyball. We'd have all kinds of fun. And being a part of the youth group, just helping the youth pastor lead ministries on Wednesday nights, I was very involved with that. But I can't tell you that I was truly dedicated to my studies all the time. And the youth pastor had been offered a pastoral job at another church. And this is where I followed Demas. Demas took off because of the love of the world. I chose to, because when the youth pastor got asked to go to another church, they asked me to step in as a youth pastor. And instead of relying on God to walk me through this, I relied on myself, and I didn't think that I was capable of doing this. And so we left the church for about 7 years, and it kind of devastated not only me, but my wife and my two younger boys. They were about 7 and 10 or 8 and 11, somewhere in that neighborhood, and we were out of church for 7 years. 7 years of very impressionable time in my two older boys' life. And so they struggled because they didn't get to see mom and dad living out their faith day in and day out. We decided that, we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. It was tough. And Cindy and I talked multiple times. We need to get back in church. We knew that this setting is where not only we should be, but our boys should be. Our young, impressionable teenage boys should be here too. But again, I tried to do this on my own. I told Cindy, well, when I clean my mouth up, when I stop drinking alcohol like I do, we'll start coming back to church. Well, 7 years went by, and my father-in-law wound up getting leukemia. And this was a man that you couldn't ask for a better role model in a human being. He loved his wife. He loved his kids. He provided for them. a day in and day out, but he didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And so when we came home from a vacation, all of us were up in Oregon, and my father-in-law went to the hospital, found out he had leukemia. His son that actually used to come to this church years ago, Bill Whittington, he graduated from SBI. And we were all in the room, and his dad looked at him and said, I need to get my spiritual life in order. Because he realized that the doctor had told him he had anywhere from 14 days to 6 weeks to live, and he was going to die. And at that moment, he knew that he had to get his life straight with God. Cindy and I went home to, she went home with her brother to just be with each other. At about 11:30, 12 o'clock, both of us cried out to God and had rededicated our lives at that time. So the power of one, my father-in-law, changed the way we looked at where we should be. And we both rededicated our lives, and we've been here since 1999. So the power of one, God can use each one of you. In verse 14 through 18, Paul talks about the coppersmith. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back up. So that's the importance of staying connected. Paul is calling the people that have spent time with him to come back and hang out with him. Paul was in prison. Some of the people had gone because they just wanted to go run after the world. He had one guy left with him, which was Luke. But Timothy was huge in his life. He spent a ton of time with Timothy. And Mark, believe it or not, when they first got together, they didn't connect. They were supposed to go on missions together, and they didn't because of their personalities. But Mark's growth in his spiritual life, at this time, Paul realizes that Mark could be huge in his ministries. But again, Mark or Timothy had no clue where Paul was in his heart at that time. And as men and women being mentors to people and being mentored, if you don't tell that person that you're struggling, there's no way we're going to know. So if I'm struggling, even though Matt and I are close, I still have to go to him and tell him, I need some help, right? So it's super important to get a hold of people and become close. I remember when Pastor Kurt first became the senior pastor here, some of the stipulations was he knew that he couldn't do this day in and day out, that he needed a couple of other pastors, some elders, some deacons to be surrounding him, that he couldn't carry the load 100% by himself. And with that said, we met every Sunday night. And by doing that, we prayed not only for each other, but we prayed for this congregation. And pretty soon, we got to know each other's hearts really, really well. And there was nothing that I needed to hide from any of the other six of the elder team and the pastoral team, because I knew they would accept me for who I am and where I am in my life. So grab a hold of somebody, guys, and allow them to pour into your life and allow yourself to pour into their lives. And I encourage you to look at the Word of God, because the only perfect person in this Bible was Jesus Christ. The rest of the people that are talked about in the Word of God are no different than you and I. Look at King David. That man was up here, and he was down here spiritually. You name it, he dealt with it. So connect with somebody in the Bible. Allow that to be one of your mentors, a spiritual mentor. Find somebody that you connect with and read on that person's life. You will grow tremendously. In verse 14 through 18, Paul talks about the coppersmith and how he was very much opposed to the Christian message and what it stood for. Paul also makes it very clear that the Lord will repay the coppersmith according to his deeds. We have to stay focused in a time that where Paul was. There was this one guy, and I imagine that each one of us can find a coppersmith in our life that opposes what we stand for, that thinks that we're foolish for following Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this coppersmith did. Paul warned Timothy, stay away from him. He's not a good guy. So don't be afraid to talk to your people, to your friends, to your wives, to your husbands, about people that oppose us, and that we need to pray for those people. We have to stay focused in those times. I think sometimes when we come across people that oppose who we are, we tend to open our mouth sometimes and say things that out of desperation. I think sometimes we need to learn to step back and just allow God, because it makes it very clear that God is going to take care of that coppersmith. That it's not our job to take care of that guy, to shut him up. God just wants us to live our lives out loud. He wants us to be consistent. He wants us to be the same person that you are right now sitting in this room as you are when you walk out of this room, that when you go home, that you're the same person that you are right here. When you go to work, if you're going to school, just be who God is asking you to be. Actions speak way louder than words sometimes. We have to remember that. We need to stay strong in our faith. Again, we need to stay extremely focused, even when some people may let us down. Paul talked about when he was at his first hearing that some of the people didn't come to his side. In the message, it actually states, at my preliminary hearing, no one stood by me. They all ran like scared rabbits. And it's pretty basic. But if in your Christian life, all you do is come here and get fed, it's pretty difficult to stay super strong in your faith when you're not around people here. That when you're at your place of work, or out at the mall and somebody cuts you off, or in traffic, people watch us. As soon as they know that you're a Christian, people look at you and see how you're going to react in tough moments. And the only way you can stay strong is if you have daily intake of God's Word. In James chapter 1, it talks about not just being hearers of the Word, but being doers of the Word. And if you don't know what, like Pastor Don talked about, if you don't know what the Bible has to say, how can you be a doer? Because you only get a 30-minute glimpse or a 40-minute glimpse on Sunday mornings. It's pretty tough to sustain that throughout the rest of your week. You have to have personal intake of who you are and where you need to be in your walk with Christ. We get wrapped up sometimes in wanting to be so good, just so people can see God in us, and we start for lack of better terms, we start performing for our friends about how good our faith is, or we start talking about Scripture, and let's face the fact, Satan even knows Scripture. So just because you can quote Scripture doesn't mean you're doing what God is asking you to do. Your actions, you have to learn to perform for one, and that one is Christ. That one is God. Don't worry about the other people in your lives. Perform as if, and God should be with you everywhere you go. Perform as if he's walking right next to you day in and day out. It's easy to lose ourselves in dark moments. When we feel all alone. And that's why Paul stayed so dedicated in his life. That there were times, he was in prison many times, and at this time in his life, he's on his deathbed, and he knows that the end is near. And he knew that he just couldn't do it by himself. So stay close to fellow Christians. And for the conclusion, my fourth point here is finishing strong. Like Gary talked about the marathon race, it has to be day in and day out. We have to remember where Paul came from. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And who remembers what Saul was all about? He was a Christian killer. He was somebody that sought us out to kill them. And if God can change a man like Saul and make him a Paul, just imagine what he can do with you. If you will just allow him to rule your whole being. Trust me, God has somebody for you to reach. We don't give ourselves enough credit sometimes. I think that we put too much pressure on ourselves that we're the ones that have to do it all. But we have to let go and let God. Let go and let God work. He has somebody for you to reach. And like I said earlier, I think that because we rely on ourselves sometimes, that our words get in our way. And we just have to allow God to work in us. Some of the things that Paul did, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote about 13 of them. So pretty incredible what a Christian killer, how he turned around and made a difference in every one of our lives, right? Second Timothy is a bold, clear call for perseverance in the gospel in spite of the suffering that we know will come our way because of our faith. Stay grounded, guys. And I encourage you to ask God to reveal to you who he wants you to touch, who he wants you to be a light for. We're all here to touch somebody's life. So thank you for allowing me to speak with you guys, and let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your willingness to forgive us for who we are. that Jesus, you chose to come to this earth and be beaten beyond recognition. And you did this for us because you see something good in each one of us. You see that one can make a difference. You see that in our humanness that we're imperfect and you still love us. I thank you for that. I want to pray for the offering today, that the stewards that you have put here in this church will use that money accordingly to keep this facility open and pay our pastors. And I thank you for this congregation. In Jesus' name.